You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
I'm so excited to share this with you guys. I had a kōrero with Kate Le Bon about a week ago. She is coming to Aotearoa this weekend, playing at the Hollywood Avondale on Sunday with Vera Allen in support of her brand new album Pompeii. Let's have a listen to my kōrero with Kate Le Bon. You must be excited to A, have this album out in the world, and also B, getting back into making and performing after quite a long time. How does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think after the pandemic, well, I mean, it's not over necessarily, but you know, there was a sense I had all these tour dates booked and I really didn't think they were going to happen. Even, you know, during rehearsal, I always had this sense that something was going to unexpectedly pull the plug on them. So, you know, to actually be on a stage, I think our first show was in Woodstock in February, and, you know, to have a rehearsed band and to be playing songs from a record, you know, that was made at the height of the pandemic was, it felt like quite a feat, you know. But yeah, all, you know, all the things that I took for granted, I certainly won't be taking them for granted anymore.
Absolutely. I think we all feel like that as listeners and as makers of music. It's really been a washing machine couple of years. I'm wondering how, I mean, I feel like it's inevitable that it has probably influenced music making for you. How do you think it has kind of come out in the wash, to continue my terrible analogy there?
I think you make a record under any kind of conditions and it's going to, you know, seep in some way. And I had this idea that I would make this record, or it would have been a different version of this record, that Samer and I were going to go somewhere remote. So we would, you know, it would still have been primarily the both of us. But, you know, that we'd be in control of where we'd go and when we'd go and all that stuff. And I think as soon as I realized that, you know, all of my plans were totally incompatible with reality, and that he ended up coming over to the UK to Cardiff in Wales to make this record in, you know, a small bedroom in a terrace house in Cardiff, which was the opposite of what I ever imagined. But, you know, you find, you know, it's obviously gonna seep in, and the even just the, you know, geographical and the kind of the space that you're working in, everything, you know, changes. There's a different version of what you're making that's kind of being manipulated by you, you know, everything that's going on. So I can't specifically put my finger on it. I don't think it's a record that necessarily sings directly to, you know, the specifics of what was going on, but it's certainly an exploration of things that arose because of it.
Someone who was very deliberate about place and how it impacts the way you're making music. You took yourself off to do a furniture course for a year in the north of England. Oh, is it the Lakes District? Is that right?
Yeah.
And that sort of period of isolation was very, you know, crucial for then going and making Reward. You've been very sort of deliberate, I guess, within the constraints of the pandemic with Pompeii. And I wanted to ask you how Joshua Tree, which is where you're now living, has influenced your music making.
You know, Joshua Tree was somewhere I came to finish Reward, and I think it was that sense of, you know, I'd been in the Lake District writing it, and I'd really valued the kind of isolation and that sense of, you know, when you're on your own somewhere really remote, you can kind of feel quite invisible, which is something that I crave when I'm writing, you know, to kind of rid yourself of the sense of kind of expectations or preconceptions or an idea of an audience or, you know, the what's next. And and so taking that record into a studio was quite strange and felt kind of at odds with how it was made, and there was a little bit of friction during a kind of process of committing it to, you know, to in the studio, you know, tracking everything. And so what felt really natural was taking it somewhere, just Samer and I, taking the record somewhere really remote where I could kind of reconnect with the feelings I had when I was writing the record and piecing it all together. And so Joshua Tree became that place, and you know, a place that I've been to over the years and have really fallen in love with the, I guess just how I feel when I'm here, that kind of you know, the remoteness, the quiet, the space, the way the light just feels different. And I think, you know, there's kind of, I don't think I have really a repeatable process when it comes to making a record, but I've realized I have a kind of set of conditions that I work best under, and that seems to be the less people involved the better, and being of, you know, somewhere totally remote where you can just kind of lose yourself and be completely immersed in the thing that you're making.
Interesting that you say, like, reconnecting with the feeling you had. I wonder if it's a feeling that is the thing that starts the writing process for you, or are you the kind of person who goes, I've got an idea for this song and that's where it's beginning? Is it the feeling? Is it the idea? Is it a baseline? Where does it come from for you?
I mean, a record usually comes from, for me, from like a feeling, yeah, a feeling of something that you're trying to kind of find the corners of. And and it, again, you know, I try not to put too much, too many constraints on myself of what exactly it is, and try and trust that you have that feeling and that will guide you in a sense, without trying to kind of extract really definitive words or, you know, definitive ideas. Because I think often, you know, you will, if you tell yourself what the record's going to be definitively, then you will not look anywhere else. And I find it quite constricting, you know. So, I love, it's one of my favourite things to make a record, and the puzzle of putting things together and being able to deviate and get lost, and maybe the thing you find at the end of that, you put everything you thought the song was aside and you find kind of the stone that sings somewhere else. And I think allowing yourself that kind of the freedom to do that is, you know, curiosity, and that's what's really exciting to me about making a record. And that's why I work, you know, with Samer, because he has the same mentality. There's no sense of keeping you on the, you know, the path to this plan you had, or, you know, trying to interrupt you when you're halfway through an idea because it's not what you spoke about, or, you know. So he's very much, you know, very much in tune with the way I work, and it's like curiosity and just forward motion, and it feels like we're just, you know, holding hands and kind of just going on this lovely trip together. Take your gloves off.
The kind of the image of this album, the cover image of it, is a gorgeous enigmatic photo of yourself, but it was based on a Tim Presley painting, and I think the story of the relationship between these two things is very interesting. Do you want to tell us a bit about Tim's painting and how it's kind of influenced this record?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really hard thing to talk about because it's all abstract in a way, you know. I suppose we were living in this terrace house in Cardiff and it was a full lockdown, and you know, I was in this city that I hadn't really lived in properly for years, which was so familiar and so many people who, you know, were like family to me there, and yet I was you know, wasn't able to see any of them, wasn't really able to enjoy the city because we were under this really strict lockdown. And so Sam and myself working in one of the bedrooms, and Tim was painting in the front bedroom, and you know, we'd all kind of, I think the, you know, the lockdown and this, you know, cabin fever of sorts, and you know, all the kind of existential dread and everything was brewing, but we were, you know, all trying to maintain this kind of schedule of working every day, and just one day, you know, one morning, Tim went into his bedroom to paint, and about 5 hours later he came into the studio with this painting that I just thought was one of the most, and I still do, you know, one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. And painting of a woman, and she had some kind of ancient quality but some kind of futuristic quality, and there was something really unsettling but calming, you know, all these kind of contradictions where you're trying to find kind of the tension of the opposites in this painting. And it really, I don't know, it just really spoke to us all and affected us all, and kind of at a time when you are struggling to find words to articulate how you're feeling, I think we poured that into the painting and took that from the painting as well. And yeah, I guess it's just fascinated by this sense and the way that Tim works, you know, if he is able to find, you know, I have to take myself off to find that kind of invisibility where, you know, you kind of get the enormous eye and you're able to create as if no one's watching, not even yourself. And Tim is incredible at doing that. He can do it anywhere. And, you know, he kind of was holding this painting as if he had no notion of where it had come from himself, you know, which I found totally fascinating. And I suppose, you know, knowing that I had to kind of somehow tap into that in this bedroom that was very familiar to me, in the city that was really familiar to me, that I didn't have the, I wasn't able to escape somewhere to kind of reach the conditions that I work best under. But I guess, you know, just this beautiful painting that we kind of just felt like how I wanted the record to sound, and Sama seemed to understand that, so we kept kind of looking to it for inspiration. And it's a hard thing to explain, but we both seemed to know what it meant, you know, which was fortunate, or he was just lying to me, I don't know.
Finished a project like this, what do you do to reflect on it? Because I guess there's that strange time between making something, putting it out there, and then the actual performing it part of it. But how do you reflect on a work once you've finished it?
Well, it's usually the period between finishing a record and, you know, I guess it happens so quickly, you hand it over to the label quite quickly, and then all of a sudden this thing that you've been crafting in private and, you know, is become so, you know, intimate and you know it so well is kind of very quickly not yours anymore. And I always find that quite a kind of abrasive transition, you know. And I think because of, you know, all the label, the vinyl pressing plants are all backed up. So what would usually be a 3-month period was an 8-month period of waiting for this record to kind of see the light of day, and I deal with it by just pushing it aside. You know, I don't think about it. It makes me sick to think about a record once I've finished it. And you know, I have a very unhealthy relationship with it. Usually up until I start playing the record, not even rehearsing the record. And, you know, I've got a band of really, you know, close friends, really wonderful people who I trust and love dearly. And to kind of start unraveling the record and putting it back together with them is when I start to kind of reconnect with the record. And I suppose when the lyrics start to take on a different meaning for me as well, and everything changes, you know, you're seeing it from a totally different perspective, from the outside in rather than the inside out, I suppose. So that's when I feel like I kind of reclaim the record as my own. And you know, the performing a song is very different to, you know, recording a song in private. So it's kind of, it shifts and it changes. And I, you know, I really enjoy that moment.
The mighty Kate Le Bon speaking with me about her brilliant album Pompeii. She is playing this weekend, which feels surreal to say. She's going to be here in Aotearoa performing at the Hollywood Avondale. Vera Allen is going to be her support act, and you will want to get down there early because that will be the first time we've been able to see Vera's mighty record, It's Your Birthday, played in full as well. I so enjoyed that chat with Kate. Thank you so much to her for giving us her time. The album, if you haven't had a chance to listen to Pompeii yet, is really magical. She started writing it on the bass primarily, and you can kind of hear that once you know and you go back and listen. It's like very driven by the bass record. The whole thing was produced by Kate and Samir Koja, who you will have heard her refer to in that chat. Also mixed and engineered by Samir as well. He owns the recording studio Seahorse Sounds in Los Angeles and was locked down with Kate and Tim Presley in Cardiff over the first sort of wave of the pandemic. Tim Presley is Kate's partner, also bandmate in Drinks, which is a project that they haven't released anything on in a while, but is a very, very cool sort of jangly bit of punk. And they sort of cover art of this whole Pompeii world was inspired by Tim's painting. And if you want to see the painting that Kate was talking about, if you head over to her Instagram page, you'll be able to find it pretty easily. It's a really awesome record. It's going to sound so good live. If you haven't got a ticket and you can get one, don't be a dingus and don't muck around. Go grab them ASAP.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.